You know, we like to be sure that the Holy Spirit is moving, and that's really very important. And so we don't do a lot of communication back and forth. I've said this a lot because I'm always impressed how the Holy Spirit touches people in saying certain words, certain situations, when people share, when we sing the words in the songs, and then it goes right with the message, and then there's the scripture that Kathy puts into the bulletin, and we don't talk. I'm just trusting that whatever is there is going to be something that can help confirm things to you, that God wants to say something very specific at this particular time. And we've talked about this before. This is the Word of God. I think all of us here believe that these words are words that were anointed by the Spirit of God on people. People wrote it, but it was God who inspired it.
Okay, if you have it there, I'll take it.
You forgot to pray over your mom.
Well, that would be good. Would you do that, Julie? From there, that's fine.
Lord, we just pray for Malcolm, and we know that you will give him the words that we need to hear. Each individual may hear it differently, but Lord, what we each need to hear is just let it come from your will, and thank you for
it. In Jesus' name. Yeah, we take these prayers, we take the things that we read in the scripture with faith, right? With faith. And so we want to be people of faith. Here's what it this just was coming to me this past week, so I thought, oh, well, maybe God wants me to talk on this. So, Psalm chapter 8, and it's just one verse, although I could read before and after it, but I'm just going to read this one particular verse. It's verse 4, and it says, "What is man that you are mindful of him?" What is man? Psalm 8, I got that right? What is man that you remember him? The son of man, that you look after him. You ever think about that? What's so important about us?
Yes.
From God's perspective. Now, we all know that God is supreme. We all know that we can do nothing outside of him that has any kind of real meaning. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
You believe that, right? There's this thing in all the things that we sing and we praise him for, the things that we do, if there is real impact on other people's lives, the power that brings that kind of impact is from God. Isn't that right? Now, Kathy, you have the bulletin right there?
Yeah.
Just read 2 Corinthians 4:7. That was the one that you stuck in there.
We have this treasure, which in the previous verse said the knowledge of the glory of God. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us.
Amen. Okay? Yeah. All right, so here we have a very important thing to really understand. Anytime that there is any kind of moving of the Holy Spirit in a group of people, in you, in your life, and in your thought life, the power of changing your mind about something. Right? the power for you to even change the way you feel and think. It's like what was going on there. You know, God uses people. Most of the time, when God is doing a work, He's doing it through people. Mm-hmm. Lots of time. There's one good example that Crystal talked about. Tara calls her while she's in this particular funk, and that Crystal is in a particular funk, and Tara needs something. Was that Tara's idea?
No.
God moved on Tara. God moved on Tara. And Tara felt something, thought something, hey, I'm going to call Mom. Because she'll know. And God used that to get Crystal out from the situation that she was in her mind. Mm-hmm. Now, who was it? Well, you know what? It was both. It was both God, who has the power, and Tara, who was the instrument used of God. So when we look at this scripture, what is man that you are mindful of him? Brian had already mentioned, we were created to worship and praise God. We were created so that for His good pleasure. So now I want to take this. I felt like the Lord wanted us to take this and think about this a little bit more than just saying, oh, well, yeah, we're here because God wants us to be here. Well, there's something very specific that I felt the Lord wanted to talk about in regards to, what's He care about us for? What does He care about us for? He's created us. He's created all the animals. He's created all the worlds in this universe. And we're just a little tiny speck. Why is He mindful of us? There must be something. The point is this. There must be something special about us. Not that we're anything outside of Him. Not that we are lifting, this message is certainly not lifting us up. This message is to see the tremendous treasure that God has put in us so that He can use us to do, to influence, to be there for people. And that He is really encouraging us, again, as been said here previously, to reach out to other people. We're not here for ourselves. We're here to do God's will. And God has this grand, grand will, grand purpose for every single person that's in this room. Every single one. And we can sometimes just think, oh, well, it's just little old me, and what can God do with me? And yet, He's very mindful of every single person in this room, of every single person in this whole world. What is man that you are mindful of? Well, let's look at something, all right? Because, yes, we are here for God's good pleasure. We are here to worship Him. He deserves it. And we're going to look at an aspect of what is God's good pleasure that he has for us. So I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So go up into the New Testament, go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Find this to be a really interesting thing. 1 Corinthians 3, we're going to read verses 9 and 10. This is what Paul says. We are laborers together with God. God doesn't just do everything on his own. Like we were just saying, most of what God does, much of what God does, he influences people to do his work. He does all kinds of internal things inside of each of us, and that's him working on us. But in the process, usually, he's working something in us so that we may work his will outside of us. Mm-hmm. Do you get this?
Yes.
We are, it says, laborers together with God. Mm-hmm. What a responsibility. I think a lot of times we don't even realize it. How important we are to God to do his work. He could do it all by himself. And yet, what is man that he's mindful of us? He wants us to co-labor with him. It's his power. It's his wisdom. It's through his love. It's by his courage, his fortitude, his diligence. As we tap into that, as we become less and less, where we're not so concerned about our own will, but we're looking to really do his will because he wants us to co-labor with him in his work. And boy, there's a lot to do. And that work that he wants covers everything about your life. It isn't about coming here and just speaking particular scriptural messages to one another. That's important. We need to hear the word of God and feast on the word of God. But as God speaks to us throughout the day, we're in our jobs, we're with our families, we're by ourselves, we're watching a movie. God can speak to you. Okay. And there's something, I've said this before, there's things that happen in movies and I go, wow, I think I know what you're speaking to me through this movie, God. You know, you can get something from the Lord in almost anything that's correct. You're not going to get too much out of things that you shouldn't be doing. But you sure can get things out of the common things that happen in your life. God can speak to you and I through anything. And it's mostly going to be through people, other people, who have happened to listen to God and are doing what God wants them to do. It really comes down to listening or sensing, being inspired to make a phone call, to ask a question. Somebody's on your heart. Well, that's probably God speaking to you to either pray or call or go over and visit, right? And we have to change the way our minds think about these things. Because we just think of this, we have enough things that we do on our own whim. Well, God doesn't have whims. God has a plan. God has everything that he does has a deep purpose where he wants to reach people. And yes, it's for people that don't have a saving knowledge of what Jesus did on the cross. It's to reach out and bring them into his family. But it's also to meet us where every single one of us are with that daily thing that comes up, whether we're on a high mountain or in a very low valley. God is working in us all the time. Everything about our lives, God is interested in. He wants to take us from where we shouldn't be and get us to where we should.
He wants to keep us when we are where we should be, and bring us to an even better place. It's like Eric said in his prayer. You know, there's always something more about God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's always going to be more and more learning, more a greater depth of experience in God that we can all achieve. I hope that we all want that.
Okay, so verse 10. I didn't read that one yet, did I? Verse 10 says, here's Paul talking. He says, according to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder.
Oh man, Paul's really taking a lot on himself there.
Yeah. Right?
Jesus, you know, a lot of people, if somebody is bringing something to someone, you know, this happens a lot, even in our church, and I understand the thing. You know, somebody says, Malcolm, that was a really good message. And I go, oh no, that wasn't me, that was Jesus. Mm-hmm. Well, it is true. The power of it's going to be Jesus. But you know what? I co-labor with him.
Amen.
The people that do the music, Reggie, who's leading the service, or whoever else might be at any one time, or you in whatever capacity you're doing things, people that are teaching, you're relating to someone on your job. You know, when things are the way they need to be and should be, and you're speaking the right kind of words, you know, it's a co-labor. Isn't it?
Yes.
And that should get us to see that, you know what, the power isn't from me. That takes all this pressure off of us. You know, we put too much pressure, and the fears that we have and all of this comes because we compare ourselves to somebody else. We feel bad about ourselves. I feel like, well, I can't do this, or I don't know what. I'm afraid, Kathy said it, and I'm the same way. I'm afraid I'm not going to have the right words to say. Right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so, okay. If that's the position I'm in, then, hey, wait a minute. I'm co-laboring with God. I'll do what I can. Do what you can. Not what you think somebody else thinks you should do.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I really had to battle that in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, a pastor is supposed to do this and do that. You know, I got to the point, I just got to the point where I just said, you know what, I am who I am right now. That's who I am. And this, I can't be any more than what I am. But God can still use me. The treasure is still there. And as long as I'm not comparing myself to other people, and as long as you don't compare yourself, wherever you are in your walk with God, realize God wants you to be a fellow laborer with him. The source of power and wisdom and love and all of that, he'll move through you if you allow him to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That takes a lot of pressure off of you and me.
Yeah.
You know, but what stops us a lot of times in talking to that neighbor or whatever is, I don't know what to say.
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't. We don't reach out where we need to reach out. But you know what we have to do? We have to listen. To God. Right? If we're going to co-labor with God, then we can't be doing our thing for Jesus. We can't have our own program going. We have to be doing God's program.
Right.
And that requires us praying, developing a deeper relationship with God. Right?
Mm-hmm.
We have to be able to hear. We have to be able to recognize when God's talking and when he isn't.
Yes.
When it's our own thoughts or our own reaction to something. We have to hear what God is saying. And that really works us somewhat, doesn't it? Because we don't want to say something because when we're not too sure, well, is that God or is that me?
It takes practice with that. You got to step out in faith and do it.
Yeah.
And then what happens is after, you know. Because as soon as you do it, if it's not from God, you feel it.
Yeah.
If it is from God, you're very peaceful about it, and you feel like this overwhelming sense of gratitude. But in order to do it, you've got to take that step, right? And then what happens, the more you do it, the less all the other junk kind of comes into play.
This is what you found this out once you were put in the position that you had to lead, right?
Right, absolutely.
And you find out, well, I can't just stand there. God, I sense, this is what I'm sensing, so I'm going to take I feel like you want the direction of the church to go in this particular direction, and sometimes it's right, and maybe sometimes it's not.
And the first time, when I first got up there, I used to write everything out before I came to church.
Yeah.
Like, this is what we're going to do.
Yeah.
Bing, 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 bing.
Yeah.
And you're not doing that anymore. There. And
you don't do that at all.
No, I threw that out the window because I was trying to do it on my own.
Yes.
And it wasn't working.
Right.
I didn't sense, like after when I walked out of church, I said, wow, this worked, that didn't work. That for sure.
Yeah.
I could tell because when you're up in front, you can see people's faces. So you can sense what's going on, how people are thinking, if you're an idiot or not an idiot. So you get an understanding of that. So then you start to say, maybe this worked, this didn't work, right? So, but then, as time goes on, you start to trust God a little bit more. So then all of a sudden, I didn't write down something.
You're right.
And I said, I'm just going to listen to what God is saying. He's going to tell me
what was that word again? Listen. You're going to listen to
right?
Yeah.
And then after that, that's when things started to, like, I could tell that people were opening up and they were starting to feel more comfortable. And then I said, well, that's what God, I had a sense that God was saying, that's the direction I want you to go in. You have to trust me.
Yes.
And that's what I try to do now. But it took a while.
It does. And you and I have to be willing to step out and move and do and learn. God is not, if you have an honest thing where you're not looking to do something to have people build you up, but you just want to serve God, and you take that step and it's not exactly right, God's not going to beat you for messing up. He's going to show you. He's going to teach you. And then the next time it's going to be a little different. And think about this. I think a lot of people, their relationship with God is, please don't hit me. And God, I mean, sometimes God has to, give you a little boot.
We've had that.
Now, just a little sidebar of something kind of funny, actually. So, a few years back, I was choosing the music for Sunday morning, and I was going by and put your hand in the hand of the man who spilled the water.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yes.
And God said, pick it. And I said, no. He said, pick it. And I'm like, no, it's juvenile. I'm not picking it. Okay. He was so insistent for me picking that song, so I picked it. So we start singing that, and you start crying. Do you remember that?
I do.
Because you named your sermon, Putting Your Hand in the
Hand
of God.
Put your hand in the hand.
That really impacted my life.
That is so important, and probably, I think, just to make sure people understand this, when we talk about God speaking, telling us to do something, more than likely, it's not words that are spoken that you hear those exact words. There's a sense that happens. Do it. Say this. It's in the heart. It's not like in your ear. Do you understand? And so many people say, well, God spoke to me and said, and then other people are going, God doesn't speak to me. Because you're thinking of it as some kind of audible thing. I couldn't think of that word. Audible thing. When that isn't how God speaks to us. I mean, he can if he wants to, and has done that at times. But he impresses something in our minds and hearts, and we know. We know what God's saying, even without exactly hearing those words, although it is kind of hearing those words. I don't know how to describe it beyond that. But you understand what I'm saying. I'm sure that you're understanding what I'm saying. Because if you're listening to God, and begin to recognize his voice more and more, it's not really an audible voice. It is a voice of the heart that moves on you and speaks to you, right? That's very, very important for us to realize that's how God moves and speaks. So that if we're listening, as those things come to us, we go, oh, I remember there was something that moved on my heart one day, and I'm like, oh, is that you, God? And I said, I think it is. I think it's God. But I wasn't sure. So I stepped out. The only way you're going to find out things is by stepping out and either saying or doing whatever it is that God was impressing. How are you going to know? And it takes, like Reggie was saying, it's a process. It takes time. But over time, we begin to hone that discerning what's right and what's wrong.
Yeah.
What's of God and what's not of God, right?
Yeah. I was thinking, sometimes I'm in the back room running off the bulletins or whatever, and because I've spent time with the people here,
yeah.
I know their voices. I don't have to see them to know who just came in and is yelling hello or...
or laughing or whatever.
Or laughing or whatever. I know their laughs. And it's because I've spent time with them, just like we need to spend time with the Lord and know what his voice is.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want to give anybody the wrong impression either. I mean, it doesn't happen perfectly either still.
Yeah.
Right.
You
know? Right.
So some people can say, well, that's just, they know everything, you know, so they're so diligent, they're so connected with God that they always hear God and always go the right way. That is not true.
No.
That is not
for any person.
But the percentage of how many times you hear and act in a certain way improves over time.
Yeah.
Exactly. Would you turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2? Philippians chapter 2. Well, I want us to notice something here. In 1 Corinthians 3, we see that we're to co-labor with God. We're fellow laborers with God. That's what it said in 1 Corinthians 3. Now, notice here, the same idea comes across, although it doesn't just say it straight out. You get to see that this is true. What an honor to co-labor with God. Wow. Look what it says. Verses 12 and 13. Did I want to go further? I did. All right, I'm going to go further. So it's Philippians 2, verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Who is he telling to work it out?
You.
People, us, right? Mm-hmm. We are supposed to work out our salvation with reverence and awe. Mm-hmm. We have been given salvation. Now do something with it. That's the idea here.
Yeah.
Work out our salvation with fear and trembling. does not mean if you've truly been asked God into your life have died, that you can lose it. That's how we feel here. You're not going to lose it if it's a true thing. But boy, you're supposed to do something with it. It should be worked out more and more and more in your life.
Used.
And it's said for us. That's our responsibility to work it out. Now notice what verse 13 says. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's our stepping out and doing, it's God's power, his will, that we're looking to accomplish. God's got the power. We got the earthen vessel, but he's got the power. This earthen vessel needs to be doing things with that. Right? So we co-labor. We're co-laboring with God. Aren't we? What a fantastic thing. But lots of people, after they become saved, they don't think that they need to do anything. Well, it's just God. It's just God. Well, that's true in one, if you're only talking about the power. But you know what? If you're not listening, if you just think that God just comes along and starts moving you, and you have nothing to say about it, because you can resist the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Quench not the Spirit, mm-hmm. we're told. Well, that means that we can. Right? Mm-hmm. And I wonder how many times we have quenched the Spirit. We have resisted what God wants. We even had some testimony, it was Crystal. Not that she was quenching the Spirit. But, we go, no. There's question. There's stuff that comes. And we can push back. Right? So we don't want that to happen. All right. I'm coming back here because I don't know if it's recording that well when I'm over there.
Should be. You have the headphone on now.
What's that?
You have the headphone.
Oh, I do. I'm just the funniest.
No, you just in tune with us.
All right. I wrote all these little words down. You know how I just usually put down as scriptures, and that's all, because I don't want there to be anything planned out. I want the Spirit to move. But you know what? I'm also finding out that as I'm getting older, I need to write some things down. I have the word unique written down. We are all so unique. We all have some different aspect that God uses that is just special to us. And he wants us then to step out in that uniqueness. Right? We don't have to be like somebody else. Do you hear that? Let that soak into your spirit. We don't have to be like somebody else. God wants you to be a co-laborer with him in your own unique way. That should be freeing to the body of Christ. Shouldn't it? God loves you and gave you certain particular attributes. And he wants you and I to take those particular ones that we have and let them shine. Right? Isn't that great? God is so fantastic. So fantastic. And then here's now, verse 14 says this. Do all things without murmuring or disputing. One voice stuck out in there.
That was a sense of humor.
That you might be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I might rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. That's a hard thing, isn't it? Laboring and not seeing something
done
come back.
Yeah.
Yes? I don't know who to tell you the story. I guess I will. This is going to be very embarrassing for me. And will only solidify your opinion of my carpentry skills.
Yeah, so, you have an opinion of your carpentry.
No, because I've said things before. Yesterday, I was up at the camp, and we're making this makeshift table that we're going to put the solar panels on to get it up off the ground. Right now, the solar panels for the camper are sitting on the ground, and I don't want that. I want to get it up higher. So, but eventually it's going to go up onto the roof. But in the meantime, that's not going to happen until next year. So in the meantime, I want to get it up off the ground. So Gary was with me, of course. Gary had felled the tree, and then we cut up four foot lengths of the tree. That's going to be the four legs. And then there was cross pieces, and then I haven't gotten the plywood up on the top yet, but that's where the solar panels are going to go. So I had to toenail these support pieces in. So Gary helps me with the first set, and he's holding, I'm toenailing in, sitting there real nice. We go to do the second one, and he says, well, you know, put the toenail right in first, and then you know, it'll be easier to hammer in. So I did what he told me to do, and then I had to go get the I had to cut the other side pieces. And so I get over there, and I look at him. How am I going to do this piece? Because I have these two pairs of freestanding, and now I have to go in the opposite direction. So I laid this.
And Gary wasn't helping.
Gary was someplace else.
Yeah.
So I laid this down, and I set the pole on, and I toenailed it in, and then I set it back up, and I was going to toenail it in the other onto the other one, and I take one hammer, and the front piece that was already supported as I was hitting it, it twisted, and it all came apart. I was worse off trying to do this on my own. You know, so you talk about, you know, laboring in vain. I felt like I had labored in vain there, you know. And then I have to humble myself and, hey, Darren, could you help me out with it? And I said, how are you doing? He was doing some of that. I said, how are you doing? He said, oh, I'm doing good. He says, how are you doing? I said, oh, not so good. So he starts laughing, of course. And he says, why? I said, no, I don't want you to see it. Yes, just, you know, to accept the fact that I really messed this up. So, and then we went over, and then he helped me, and so it's up now. I think it's up to the plot of the piece. But you know, you can labor in vain, and it's not a good feeling. I just wanted to crawl away, you know. So,
the things that we build, you know, the way our life is built, the way the structure, the way we think about things, and how we relate to people, and what's going on in all these different relationships. You know, are we building it according to God, or are we just kind of bouncing through life according to our own way of thinking? You know, so. Anyway, so that shows that. All right, I have one other scripture I wanted to go to that deals with this particular concept. Go to Psalm 127. Is everybody okay? Can you handle just a little bit more? All right. Now, speaking about building, okay? Psalm 127, verse 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain who build it. Except the Lord guard the city, the watchman waits but in vain. Now, what did we get out of that? The exact same thing. We co-labor with God. Notice that it talks about the Lord building the house. What is the they doing? They're laboring.
Yeah, but they're relying on God.
You notice that God, it says here, God, unless God builds the house, is it saying that he does it all on his own? Or when there is actual physical things going on that God uses people to do it?
Yeah.
It's God that's doing it because he's got the power, he's got the wisdom, it's according to his will that things are going to, otherwise it doesn't matter how well somebody builds something. Right?
Yeah.
But you notice that people are involved in this. We need to be involved, right?
Yeah.
Involved in the things that are going on in our community, in our own church here, right? In what's going on in the family, that it gets built the right way. Unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchmen are awake in vain. Are the watchmen still awake? Or did they say, oh, well, God's going to take care of us, so I don't really need to watch? Do you get this?
No.
Because we can sometimes say, oh, well, God's going to take care of this. Now, I know what people mean by that. But we have to be real careful that we understand what that really means. We know that ultimately, God is going to take care of us. But he doesn't expect us not to do certain things. And I've said this before. If when it comes to people converting to Christ, all right, where does the power come for the conversion experience? Holy Spirit. Does the Holy Spirit sit down with a person and speak to their heart all by himself? Or does the Holy Spirit use Christians to speak? What? Yeah, and it takes the two. God can do it all by himself, but he doesn't want to do it that way. He wants us co-laboring with him. Does he? The Holy Spirit and us. Now, here's one that I use. You know, people, all of this is talking about faith, isn't it? Listening, trusting, obeying, right? Doing. Faith without works is dead. So there needs to be a doing, a stepping out, a learning process that's involved. But this whole thing about faith, I think I want to make sure I say this the way I want to here. Oh yeah, I skipped something here. How does faith come to you?
By hearing.
By hearing. Oh, that's that listening thing. You can't be a person of faith if you're not listening to God. You don't come up with your will about something and say, well, this is what I want, and I'm going to take faith for it. Did you hear that from God, or did you just decide that's what you want, and you want God to do what you want to do?
Yeah.
I've always had a problem with that thing about taking faith. Well, wait a minute. I'm just going to hear what God says, and then I'm going to move in faith. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We don't make up our minds what we want God to do, and then think that our faith is going to create something. We're co-laborers. We're not co-creators. And you know that's going around in some of the churches right now, especially out on the West Coast. It's being said that way. We're co-creators.
Co-creators.
No, we're co-laborers. That's what we are. All right. So, I guess I will do this here. You know, talking about taking faith. Is there anybody here that, if you were driving down, I've used this as an example before. If you're driving down the road, do you need to watch where you're going? Why? Why? Why?
So you don't crash
into
anything.
So you don't crash into anything. Well, let me just say this to you. Why don't you just trust God? Why don't you close your eyes and have a worship service while you're driving your car? Why don't you do that?
Because God gives us common sense.
God gives us common sense. Faith is not the opposite of common sense. Listening to what God has to say, there's already things that are in the Word of God that He gives us. One of them should be wisdom or common sense, and we should apply that in our life. That's not having more faith because you do something that goes against common sense. Most common sense is of God. If God tells you to do something that doesn't make sense to you, and you know it's the Spirit, then you go ahead and do it. You follow me, you know, you have to be a person. But, you know, people do the stupidest things sometimes, and they're, I'm just taking faith. You're not taking faith. We're not co-laboring if we're not moving in faith, because we have to listen. And we have to obey, and we have to trust, right? Mm-hmm. You better darn well know that it's the Spirit of God if it's something that goes contrary to wisdom, right. Contrary to common sense. Otherwise, you're taking a pretty big chance, aren't you?
Yes.
Now I want to show. I have two examples, and this is going to kind of wind it up. I want you to go to Proverbs chapter 21 for right now. Proverbs 21. That kind of emphasizes this point, because if we're going to be co-laborers with God, if we're going to labor together with God, then we need to be hearing Him, which means that we have to be people of faith. We're people that are listening. Faith comes by hearing, right? And hearing by the Word of God. So this is important for us to co-labor with God. We've got to understand His voice, or at least be in the process of learning that, right? And it says here, this verse right here and one other verse really made me see that we're not to have some Pollyanna faith where we're just, oh, I just believe God for everything.
No, it better be according to his word. Now watch this. The very last verse in Proverbs 21, it's verse 31. Look what it says. The horse is prepared for the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord.
Amen.
Now, what's that saying? We have to rely, if we have to go into battle, we have to rely for our safety on God. I'm not going to trust my gun for safety, but you know what? If I don't have it, I might not be able to protect myself in particular situations. Do you understand that? So here's the horse, and these people, they're preparing that horse for battle. But people have to realize that, hey, the power is of God. The safety comes from God. You see that? You don't negate one for the other. You have to use common sense. You have to be able to see the signs of the time and then react accordingly with some common sense. But at the base of it all, we must have a reliance and trust in God. But not being prepared for things doesn't make any one of us more faithful. Do you understand this? Faith comes by hearing, right? And we have a whole bunch of stuff that lets us know how we should react in certain situations. Right. So hopefully using wisdom and common sense will be a good one. But here it is. The horse gets prepared for the day of battle. The horse isn't preparing himself.
Man is.
Man is preparing that horse for battle. But yet, they understand that horse isn't what's really protecting them. It's going to be God who's really protecting them. But you have to prepare. You got to do your thing, right? You have to co-labor. Here's the last scripture I want to get to. Oops. Which way am I going? You ever go, where is that? Nehemiah. So go back from Psalms. Go to Nehemiah chapter 4. I just want to point this out. This was another scripture that really made me see that. You know what? God is a very practical, common sense, wise God. And he expects us to move in that kind of way. Doesn't he? There's a whole bunch of chapters in Proverbs that deal with wisdom. Right? All right, so here's what he says here. Nehemiah chapter 4, and it's verse 9. It says, "Nevertheless, the Jews are being surrounded there in Jerusalem." And it says, "Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God." What's the next word?
And
set a watch against them day and night. Were these people not really trusting God?
Well, they trusted them.
They prayed to God to protect them. But yet, they set watchmen out there to make sure that nobody was coming in on them.
That's how God uses them to protect.
You see that? Look down at verse 14. "And I looked, and I rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren." Wait a minute. Remember the Lord, but you're going to need to fight for your brother physically? Mm-hmm. Oh, you know, sometimes there's a tremendous connection, spiritual and physical. You see that? We co-labor.
Yeah.
All right, and then verse 17. "They which build the wall, and they that bear the burdens with those that were laden, every one with one of his hands did the work, and with the other, what did they do? They held a weapon." Oh, they're not trusting God. They're not trusting God. Because if they pray and they're trusting, then God's not going to let anything happen. Well, why is it there that they did that?
Do you understand? Common sense and hearing from God. We co-labor with God. If God tells you not to do something, then don't do it. But if God doesn't, and it's common sense, then do the thing that you have to do. Do you get this?
No, it says here, when the enemy is coming against you, the most powerful thing you can do is refuse to let it upset you.
Yes.
Instead, be like Nehemiah in Nehemiah 4:9. Intensify your prayers and increase your vigilance.
Yes.
As we live and work for God, opposition will come. Do you find yourself under attack? It is vitally important to have people in your life who will faithfully be at your side through prayer and other means of support. Nehemiah 4:16.
Yes, exactly. And we several weeks ago we had that brought that message about the kingdom of God suffers violence.
Yes.
You know, there's always something that comes in on us, and we have to be ready for things. And being ready for something, for whatever it might be, doesn't mean that we're fearful about it. It means we're just being ready in case. Right? Do you get this? All right. I just want to make sure that we're all on the same page with all of this stuff. Okay, I think I might just stop right there. There's some common sense. See how I'm moving in...
That's common sense.
For you people that are new, this is a normal situation. Okay. Lord, we thank you for today and for what you want us to hear, Lord God, that we would be people not afraid to step out. God, and you know that all of us have fears of in different measures and in different about different things. So, Lord, I just pray that you give us wisdom. You encourage us, Lord. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Who are we that you're mindful of us while we're here? One of the things that we're supposed to do is to co-labor with you.
Yes.
And that requires us stepping out in faith and having listening ears. So Lord, wherever we are in any of this, God, I ask that you just bless us with your peace, with strength of character, with purpose, and with an ear that can hear. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen.